Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Global Logistics Properties first quarter FY 2015 earnings analyst briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, the 5th of August, 2014. Would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets and Investor Relations, Ms. Ambika Goel. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining our first quarter 2015 earnings conference call and webcast. We have posted our revised earnings presentation and also a news release out last night on a strategic partnership with CMS TD on our website. Our presentation materials and webcast are also available on our website. Today, we'll hear from Jeff Schwartz, Co-founder and Chairman of the Executive Committee, who will provide an overview of our results. Jeff will be followed by Ming Mei, our Co-founder and CEO, who will further discuss our business, the operating environment, and our key achievements. Our CFO, Heather Cianfrocco, will provide an overview of our financial results. We will close the call with a Q&A session. Please ask a maximum of two questions, and please ask them together. Thank you. I'll now hand it over to Jeff.
Thanks, Ambika, for the introduction, and thanks to everyone for joining the call today. Now, as most of you have likely seen, last night we announced a strategic partnership with China Materials Storage and Transportation Development, CMS TD. We will discuss the details of this exciting development in a few minutes. The first quarter was significant for GLP and a strong start for the new financial year. The growth of domestic consumption across all markets remains a key driver of demand for GLP's facilities. We saw continued strong leasing, development starts, and land purchases across all markets. Development starts reached new highs with a total investment of $883 million. In particular, we're significantly ahead of our development schedule in China and Brazil, where we've already met 38% and 48% of our respective targets for fiscal year 2015 in only the first quarter. We continue to see sustained leasing trends in all our markets. Group new and expansion leases were up 64% year-on-year to 570,000 square meters, driven by 170% year-on-year increase in China alone. Strong operational momentum has also translated well into our financial results this quarter. Pro forma PATMI, excluding revaluation, was up 27% year-on-year. Turning to slide five. Let's now turn to an overview of our key business highlights for the first quarter, which you can see on page five, page six of our presentation. GLP continued to make substantial operational progress in first quarter 2015, driven by strong customer demand and growth in our best-in-class fund management platform. We also closed on a number of very significant initiatives, which position us extremely well for future growth. Our portfolio remains well leased across all markets, 90% in China, 99% in Japan, and 97% in Brazil. In June 2014, we strengthened our market-leading position with an acquisition of $1.1 billion logistics portfolio from BR Properties, the second-largest competitor at the time in Brazil. Fund management continues to be an important source of growth for the company, with fee income of $22 million in the first quarter of 2015, up 72% year-on-year. We expect future growth from the investment of the remaining $4 billion of uncalled capital contribution from the injection of BR Properties portfolio into a fund and continued asset sales to GLP JV. Our financial position remains exceptionally strong, with low leverage of 6% and strong cash position of $2.3 billion. This positions us well to capitalize on the significant growth opportunities we see in front of us. Turning to slide six now. With the support and facilitation of the Chinese investment VESA Consortium. We're pleased to establish a strategic investment with China Material Storage and Transportation Development, China's largest state-owned warehouse logistics provider. GLP and CMSTD will cooperate in several ways. First, we have agreed to form a JV to be the exclusive developer of multiple modern logistics facilities for CMSTD in China. The JV will invest over $583 million to develop an initial pipeline of up to 2.7 million square meters of land area. We also have the right of first look on all future logistics land sourced by CMSTD and a priority right to partner with them to redevelop their existing land and facilities. Second, GLP will invest US$323 million for a 15.3% stake in CMSTD via a private share placement, which will make GLP the second largest shareholder in CMSTD. The acquisition price represents a 10% discount to the last transacted price of CMSTD shares. In total, we will gain access to CMSTD's land resources, which total more than 9 million square meters today. As part of this agreement, GLP will receive 3 of the 11 board seats on CMSTD's board of directors, including key positions on the compensation and investment committees. GLP will also manage the day-to-day operations of the development JV. Amid the government's push for SOE reform, CMSTD was looking for a strong partner to grow their development platform. Now I'd be pleased to turn this over to my partner, Ming, who will walk us through the significance of this agreement. Ming?
Well, thank you, Jeff. Good morning and good evening. We actually started made initial contact with China Material Storage back in 2006. At that time, they were the dominant player. But at that point, the environment was not ready for us to do anything significant with them. So with the help of our partners and consortium and with the current environment with the central government pushing to bring in private investors to push for reform of state-owned companies, we're able to have this opportunity to become the second largest shareholder, and eventually we set up a joint venture to become the exclusive development platform. Jeff mentioned that we'll be having 3-4 members joining them, and we also will be on the comp committee, which we will chair. We believe that incentive drive behaviors, so this is something that they want us to come in and help bring them to more of a market practice. So we're very excited about this opportunity. If you look at their business, they have properties and land that were basically handed to them during the planned economy. So land that were legacy land that were from the 70s and 80s, what used to be suburbs, and now become very, very infill locations. You know, everyone probably knows that how difficult land are coming by, especially in first-tier cities like Shanghai. You know, it's almost impossible to source prime land from the government in Shanghai anymore. But China Material Storage, they just in Shanghai alone, they have over 1 million square meter of infill locations. And most of the land have direct rural access. They have 77 rural connecting to their land, and which we believe that over time, railroad will be becoming more preferred and efficient way of transporting goods across China. So of all the land that they control, more than 55% of land they own are very infill. As a matter of fact, one of the sites in 2013 in Nanjing, because the land was too infill, the government asked them if they could convert that land into commercial use. And by the time the transaction was settled, what they got returned on that asset was 10 times the on what they had booked on the under their accounting book. So it just shows you how valuable these land they're currently sitting on. Again, for those of you not familiar, land value and also building sitting on a Chinese accounting books, they get amortized instead of appreciate, because Chinese accounting doesn't recognize mark-to-market. So not only does the building get amortized over time, the land get amortized as well. So that's why on their accounting book, the value that's sitting on the book does not reflect their true value. So when we did a mark-to-market on their asset, when we did the underwriting and look at their the share price of the 10% discount to market, we're coming at a very significant discount to what the true value of these assets are, ignoring what the operating business brings. We're just looking at a pure liquidation value of the company, and so we're very, very happy to have opportunity to be their partner and a significant shareholder, and then also to be their equal partner to develop the land and also future land that they secure. So we form a 49 and 51, but we have the right to buy back the 1% anytime we desire. And the way we structure is that we will control the investment committee with the majority, and we also manage the day-to-day investment and operation of the joint venture going forward. So with that, I'd like to turn to our operation and our business. If you go to slide 8, you see the first quarter of 2015, we saw record development starts, strong leasing and rental trends in China, driven by a significant demand for modern facilities and also continued growth in domestic consumptions. New and expansion leases in China were 535,000 square meters for the quarter. That's up 170% year-on-year. During the quarter, we recently signed major leases and expanded partnerships with industry leaders such as Walmart, BMW, Dabang, and JD.com, or formerly known as 360. Our leasing pipeline continues to expand. We have seek to build on existing customer relationship and establish new relationship with domestic institutions. We have a significant leasing demand in China. We recently completed our biannual customer survey in China that highlighted that our customers remain optimistic about their future logistic demand. Close to 90% of the customers that we survey expect higher business growth in the coming year. And more than 80% of the customer indicated that they will need at least 25% expansion in the space over the next 3 years. So we look forward to support them in optimizing their distributed network as they continue to grow in China. As some of you know, more than two-thirds of our new spaces that we built is leased to our existing customers. So this indicator that we continue to do with our customers is a very good indicator of our future demand. China growth remained compelling, with retail sales increasing by 4.4% year-on-year. Meanwhile, rapid expansion of e-commerce and urbanization continue to drive domestic consumption. Again, of all the retails in China, only 10% is organized retail, and we expect this percentage to grow to, you know, a 50 to 60% range. So not only the total retail pie is growing, total retail is growing, but also the slice of organized retail is also growing, and that's what drives our business. We expect to pick up a development completion in the back half of 2015, and remain confident to meet the full year 2.4 million square meter guideline that we have provided. We expect to complete around 400,000 to 500,000 square meters in the second quarter, and with the remaining development completion coming in the third and fourth quarter, similar to what we've seen last year. Market demand remains quite strong, with more than 9% occupancy in almost all major logistic markets in China. We acquired 700,000 square meters of buildable areas in the first quarter of 2015. That's up 22% year-on-year. Again, with some of our partners to help us access the large-scale strategic projects, that's the Park and Shenyang. We also formed a joint venture with Jinbei, a leading China automotive manufacturer who's co-developing a massive site of up to 2 million square meters. The site is strategically located adjacent to BMW's car and engine assembly plant in Shenyang, and we have already acquired 290,000 square meters of land in this area. Market supply remained quite limited in China, despite all the noises people make because of a limited land supply that's released into the system. As you can see, even we being the strong player in the market, we have released it very little into this quarter because of a lack of completion. So again, we continue to see healthy supply and demand and most market we operate in. Again, you know, if we look at the China market, there's only 1/12 of amount of warehouse per capita versus the U.S. At the same time, new supply continue to be offset by demolition and old warehouses. And if you're accounting for obsolescence, we expect net supply grow at less than 2% annually. And again, that's, I think recently you hear a lot of news and noises about people coming into the industry, traditional real estate residential developers or local or international private equity groups forming and raising capital. Again, I would say that if this happened 5 years ago, I'd be a little bit more concerned because there'd be too much of supply. But given over the last 2-3 years, how the government have been very focused on regulating amount of farmland that's being converted and amount of industrial land that's being converted, the amount of land quota that's released into each province and each city is strictly implemented and strictly enforced. So amount of land quota that's available and amount of land that's released in the system is limited. So despite all the capital and all the noise that people making, the amount of land that's released in the system still continue to be quite healthy. So we expect supply and demand continue to be healthy over in the near term. Again, slide 9 gives you a snapshot of our China portfolio. Asset value are increasing with the cap rate compressing about 14 basis points during the quarter. So on average, it's about 6.9% now. The trends continue, that's mainly underpinned by continued growth in rent and also, as I mentioned, limited supply of land. We've seen a strong rental trend in cities across our national-wide networks and both coastal and inland cities. In the first quarter, we saw rent on renewal increase on average of 6.2%. Same property net operating income in China rose 6.4% year-on-year. That's driven by high rent and continued leasing momentum. Again, China remained a key driver of NAV growth with a 10% increase in the country NAV year-on-year. On slide 10, we turn to Japan. Again, I believe you can feel the confidence and also domestic consumption can drive the economy. There continue to be demand for our facilities in Japan. And the market, like in Osaka, it's not just us, but the whole market is doing well. Vacancy is zero. So, again, very, very strong demand and only limited supply because of the constraint of land in Japan. The first quarter, we see an annualized GDP of 6.7%. Our leasing is ahead of schedule with the three development projects fully pre-leased. Our GLP Ayase, GLP Kobe Nishi, and also GLP Yoshimi is 100% leased before ahead of our underwriting schedule. Monthly customer in Japan, we track demand by monthly customer inquiry of demand, and again, that's more than 500,000 square meters on a monthly basis, and that's up almost 10% compared to a couple of years ago. Supply of monthly logistics facilities remain very limited. Again, of all the warehouse facility of 450,000 square meters in Japan, only 2% is considered what is modern and more than 10,000 square meters. We've seen cap rate decrease 11 basis points to 5.1%. Again, this is due to supply and demand, and also domestic consumption continue to drive the demand for high-end facilities. Our development program remain on schedule with our strong local team continue to source and identify market opportunities. 82% of GOP Japan Development Venture has been that we have with Canadian Pension has been invested and allocated, and remain confident of meeting our target of starting a $675 million of new development in Japan this year. Our new development in Japan has also achieved on average of a 6% rental higher than the original budget and our development plan. On slide 11, it gives you a picture of our trend portfolio with 84% completed area located in both Tokyo and Osaka. And again, these two markets continue to be performed very strong. And our lease remain very high at 99%. So in slide 12, we turn to Brazil. Again, overall headline news on Brazil has not been pretty. The economy is not growing, but again, our business is driven by population and consumption. And with its large population, domestic consumption demand, we continue to see strong demand for our facilities. As Jeff mentioned, we completed a $1.1 billion logistic portfolio from BR Properties in June. And again, this significantly enhanced our market leading position, make us four times bigger than our closest competitor. And also, it comes with it, lot of high quality customers such as DHL, Unilever, and again, we will continue to grow with these customers. Our lease ratio has increased to 97%, and the average rent has grown to 19.1 reais per month per square meter. And overall, the portfolio same property is up 6.1% for the quarter. We also accelerated our development activity in Brazil over the past quarter. We started at $186 million worth of development in GOP Guarulhos. That's up 214% year-on-year. This is by far Brazil's best master plan logistic park, comprising of 17 buildings and strategically located on the Dutra Highway, which is connected to Sao Paulo and Rio. Existing buildings at the park is already 100% leased. We also have completed a $41 million development project in the first quarter, and demand continues to be driven by domestic consumption, and we the leasing pipeline is very strong. On slide 13, as I mentioned, same property rent up 6.1% for the quarter, and our development pipeline remains very healthy at 700,000 square meters. And you know, slowing overall economic growth could potentially give us some opportunity to source better land and more reasonable prices. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Heather to review the financials.
Thank you, Ming. Let me start by reiterating that GLP is fully committed to improving our corporate disclosure and transparency. And we encourage investors and analysts to provide any feedback or suggestions around the disclosure we provide. Every quarter, we have enhanced our disclosure. Latest inclusions include the GLP pro rata share of development starts and completions in dollar value, which you can find on page 2 of our supplemental information, and the pro rata income statement by country segment on page 5 of the supplemental. Please turn to slide 15 of our presentation, which gives you an overview of our financial results for this quarter. First quarter financial year 15, group revenue was up $169 million, 18% higher than last year, underpinned by higher rents and continued lease-up of development projects in China. Group PATMI and group PATMI excluding revaluation were 12% and 5% lower, respectively, mainly due to foreign exchange gains in last year, the same quarter, and dilution effect from the introduction of the China Investment Consortium's 24.4% stake in GLP China in this quarter. Adjusting for these items and the sales of assets to GLP J-REIT, first quarter this year, pro forma group PATMI and group PATMI excluding revaluations increased 8% and 27% respectively. Slide 16 highlights our China business performance in this quarter. Results in local currency and U.S. dollar terms were similar, with revenue rising 18% year-on-year and the EBIT excluding revaluation growing 15% year-on-year. The first tranche of GLP landmark China consortium agreement was completed on June 6th, and the second tranche of up to 9.6% stake is expected to be completed in the next couple months. Slide 17. we review the Japan result on this page. First quarter revenue was up 13% year-on-year in local currency terms and 9% in U.S. dollar terms, driven primarily by growth in our fund management platform. We continue to be committed to supporting the growth of the platform through a capital recycling strategy. EBIT excluding the valuation were higher than the prior year by 15% in local currency terms and 11% in U.S. dollar terms. Slide 18 details the overall valuation and breakdown of our portfolio, which now stand at approximately 26.9 million square meters, valued at close to $20 billion U.S. dollars. Turning to our fund management platform on slide 19, fund management revenue in this quarter increased 72% year-on-year to U.S. $22 million. Driven by continued growth in GLP's fund management platform. This comprised development acquisition fees of $13 million and asset and property management fees of $9 million. As of June 30, total assets under management stood at U.S. $11.4 billion. Of this, $7.4 billion has been invested with a further $4 billion uncalled capital. Given the attractive growth opportunities and the significant demand from institution investors, GLP intends to further expand our fund management platform. Slide 20 shows our strong financial position with net debt of $876 million and net debt to assets of 6%. On a look-through basis, net debt to assets stands at 13%. With a strong balance sheet in place, GLP is well positioned to capitalize on growth opportunities and selectively expand our footprint. Moving on to slide 21, this is our debt maturity profile as of June 30th this year. The group's weighted average debt maturity has been extended to 4.7 years, and 75% of our debt matures in fiscal year 2017. And beyond. With that, I'll hand back to Ambika.
Thank you, Heather. We would now like to open up the call for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the question and answer session. If you wish to queue for a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. And your first question comes from the line of Tata Goyadi from Rally Gear. Thank you. Please go ahead. Thank you, Tata. Your line is now open. Please ask your question.
Hi, Amika and the team. Just have a very quick question. You guys have a very strong development starts in China. For Q1, can we expect for the rest of the year that you know these numbers to be upgraded? And if you guys do, how do you anticipate to get a demand for such a record development starts? Thank you.
Well, Hannah, thank you. So far, we have not indicated anything about changing our commitment or our forecast. So no, we have not. Indicator or plan to change our plan for the year.
Okay. Sorry, just to follow up on that.
Demand's not the constraint. We have plenty of customer demand. It's just, when we can get the land, when we can source the land, when we can get the development starts.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Yvonne Vaughn from Credit Suisse. Go ahead, please.
Hi, guys. Morning and good evening. I just have a very quick question on the debt cost number. I noticed that there was actually a 50 bits uptick in terms of the debt cost to 3.5%, and that was despite of the lower percentage of debt fixed. Could you just give us a bit of color there? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. That's primarily driven by our acquisition of a BR property in Brazil. As you know, the interest rate in Brazil is higher than that for China and Japan.
Any plans to actually increase the percentage that's fixed as well? Because it came down from about 70-odd% to about 50-odd% now, 60 basically. Yeah,
that's just really driven by the weighted average. So if you look at our overall portfolio, we obviously have quite a bit of debt in Japan by design. That's a combination of because of lower interest rate in Japan environment and also providing a natural hedge for our portfolio in terms of currency. In China, we relatively have a lower leverage. In Brazil, because of local capital market structure, so we intend to put a reasonable amount of debt in Brazil. And because the real property is fully consolidated at acquisition, so that's why you see the weighted average of interest cost is higher. But as we talked before, we intend to sell down our ownership percentage in BR property and manage it under a fund management platform. And that's obviously going to reduce our weighted average interest of debt overall for the company.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sean Gardner from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Hi guys. Just on the transaction CMSTD, can you help us understand how we should think about the cost of land that's coming in from this transaction versus the other cost of land that you're getting? I know that there's a mixed difference between cities, but if you can just help us understand what sort of land prices you're paying in the cities as a result of this transaction. And then secondly, in the transaction announcement, you talk about boosting the pace of your development, but I wasn't too sure how we should quantify that. If you can put in the context of the 40% or so growth you're looking at for your development starts this year, how we should think about the boost from this transaction.
Thanks, Sean. Obviously, on the land cost, not only cost but also quality of sites, this partnership brings an advantage because a lot of the sites they're currently located, actually the government asking them, can they be relocated and be converted to other uses. So besides the compensation that they receive from the government, part of the compensation is that the government will give them an alternative site to continue the operation of logistic. And typically those are negotiated at advantage to a market price. So we do get to enjoy that that benefit being the partner in the joint venture platform. So hopefully that answers your question. As far as development and increase in schedule, again, this transaction has been signed by both companies as a binding contract. But again, it's still had to go through the state asset administration approval, their shareholder approval. So by the time this whole transaction is completed and we most likely will pay for the shares and March. So we talk about still a few months away. So I will say that we will start working in parallel with them, identifying the team, putting the team together and all that. So once this transaction is completed, then we put that into production. So at this point, we will not see a significant contribution over the next 6 months from this land position.
Just sorry, going back to the cost side, maybe with the 15% stake that you've acquired, is there an implied cap rate that you looked at for the completed assets that are coming from the...
As I mentioned, set aside the business income that generates from it, we look at the asset as a liquidation value or look at the asset what's worth and discount it. We're looking at least a 25% discount to what we consider a market value of the asset.
Okay, thanks.
And again, you know, we didn't invest the 15% just for the 15%. We invested in there to form an equal partnership to develop the land. Also, all future land that they source will go into this vehicle. And the way I look at it is that kind of think of like putting 15% down on a nine million square meter land that they don't have to pay 100% for.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from the line of Derek Lowe from Morgan Stanley. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I have the follow-up question on the partnership you have with CMSTD. If I look at the JV that will invest in development, the $3.6 billion and $1.3 million GFA translate to about nearly $2,800 per square meter, which is much higher land cost versus your current land cost. So can you give us an idea, like, what's the yield on cost for this development?
Derek, you said the cost of this per square meter is what number you came up with?
2769. This is page 6. I just took 3.6 billion divided by 1.3 million buildable area. So that is like 2769, which is much higher than your average land cost, which is like.
You're talking about this is total development cost, not land cost.
Oh, yes,
that's including construction cost.
I see. Okay. So, just give us an idea. The land cost, how much would that be?
Well, again, as I mentioned to you, land cost is misleading because every city, I mean, land cost in Shanghai and land cost in Chengdu are completely different. So I can, as I mentioned to Sean earlier, the cost of land acquired is going to be favorable compared to market, and some of the lands that even if you want to buy, you can't buy. There's no availability. So today you can't get a piece of land in Shanghai with more than 20 years of usage on logistic land, and if you get it, it'd be very out, very far out in the city. So some of these are not comparable, but because of the nature of these land that were handed down during the planning economy, I'm not sure if everyone is aware of how this company is formed. CMSTD was formed basically of all, during the planning economy, all the material handling department of each city and each province were all grouped into one company under one roof, and these were the asset legacy assets coming from that formation, and they took this listing, the asset part of it in 1997, and then continued injecting asset into the company. So that's why it's, these assets that are hard to replace. We couldn't do it today at market.
So what will be your underwriting for yield on cost?
I'm sorry.
Underwriting for the yield on cost.
For us, we. We more look at for and how much for every dollar invested, how much return we look at it. So we don't look at it per, the point is like sometimes we may like a project that costs three times more on a piece of land than another project. It's because the location, the demand, and the rental pace gives us high returns. So we're more focused on our returns on investment, not how much per square meter.
Yeah. I'm asking about the yield on cost for this JV. How would it compare to what you've done in the past?
We expect it to be extremely profitable. Otherwise, we wouldn't have made the investment. It's very strategic and very profitable for both of us.
Both
CMFPD and for GLP.
Sure. I mean, how would it? I mean, in the past, I think you've guided for the development at 9% yield on cost, right? So, what is this comparable?
Again, We expect this development will be slightly favorable if it was a straight market transaction.
Or maybe if you can just share, like, I think in the past you do like 20-something percent development profits. So would that be in the same range?
We underwrite it conservatively 25%, yes.
Okay, so about 25%. One more question on Brazil. There was a slight devaluation in Brazil. Were there any changes in the cap rate?
There's no change of cap rate this quarter. We do have cap rate compression in the other two countries. In Brazil, is relatively flat.
Okay, so what caused the devaluation? Because the rents were up.
Well, there it's really a look at a comparison basis. If you look at prior year, we had some gain in the past. So this was not driven by cap rate expansion. It's really just driven by the comparables versus last year.
Okay, maybe I'll just pick this offline. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a final reminder, it is star one on your telephone keypad to ask your question. We do have a follow-up question from the line of Sean Gardner from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Thanks. Jeff, can you talk about the progress on land banking in Brazil at this stage? And when should we start to see some announcements on that front for future development starts?
Well, given our development starts this quarter, we've accelerated the pace of looking at land, and we're actively pursuing several strategic sites. And I fully expect within the next 6 months we see significant land acquisitions. I'd expect them to be in the two major markets we're in, not in the more tertiary markets, but in the two primary markets. Because as Ming said, rightfully, with the slowdown in the economy, there's been a slowdown in development activity, and we can source land at much better pricing than we could have 2 years ago. We're excited.
They probably don't use the same system, but like a land reserve number that you have in mind in terms of what you think you can access over the next few years?
Not specifically. I mean, you know, we'd like to have a year and a half, 2 years worth of land, similar to what we do in China. We had that when we first made our initial foray into Brazil. Given our development starts this quarter, we're running close to the edge on that. It's time for us to make further land acquisitions, so we're actively pursuing it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Adrian Patterson from SLAM. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Good morning. May I turn to page 9 of the presentation, please, China. Can I just understand, looking at this same property, NOI, up 6.4% year-on-year, can you just remind me, please, of the typical lease structure in China, both in terms of base rent and other kind of charges, as well as typical duration? And is that 6.4% year-on-year NOI, kind of organic NOI, how much of that is down purely to growth in the rental income? Thank you.
Well, as mentioned, rent on renewal up 6.2% year on year. So most of it is driven by rental increase. And typically, we put in our lease a fixed 5% increase on an annual basis. And then up on renewal, we mark the market. So most of that comes through just rental increase. And the typical lease, because of our customers, their business are growth are quite dynamic. If they grow in the business 20-30% a year, by definition, they can't commit to a space more than 3 years. If not, they either at the beginning sitting empty a lot, or at the end they run out of space. So typical leases are 3 to 5 years. You do have companies. We do have companies that like Walmart and L'Oreal and Adidas. They commit to 10 years. But again, what we find is that during the 10-year lease, they end up breaking the lease 2 or 3 times because then they extend again and renew. So so again, 3 to 5 years typical. In China, we typically and the lease include base rent, and then also include common area maintenance, and then also include property tax. So the rent we quote for customers is all inclusive of those.
Okay, and you're, thank you. And that's very clear. Your NOI margin then is roughly what, 60, 70, 80%? In charge.
It floats around 65, 70%.
Great, thank you very much. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a last opportunity to ask a question. Please press star followed by one. Thank you. And we have a question from the line of Tricia Song from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning, guys. Congrats on the good results. And congrats on the great development starts growth. How much would you actually attribute the growth to the partnership with the China Consortium? And is there what do you expect going forward from the China Consortium in terms of the benefits as well as the relationships that they bring? Thank you.
Well, you know, thank you, Tricia. You know, half the economy in China, whether you like it or not, is still contributed by state-owned companies. And so they are both not only a source, potentially, land that they held on the balance sheet, but also potential the demand for facilities. And over the last 2-3 years, we see a significant increase from traditional state-owned companies that build everything themselves start leasing. So even you know, traditional companies like China Resources or Science Trans, they start leasing from us. We expect that to continue at a more rapid pace. So the consortium help us in a few ways besides bringing capital, but they also help us introducing us to potential customers, potential partners, and I would say that some of our land source that we have working in the pipeline, they have helped us quite a bit. So so it's been and, you know, and these some of these consortium such as China Life, they have invested. They are shareholders of these companies and financial partners of these companies. So when you walk in, you're talking to these potential partner at a different level. So again, so far we have been very appreciative of all the support and help, and we continue to see that to expand. And we're quite excited with what we have in the pipeline. Again, this is one thing that we've been working on over the last few months, and you know, and negotiating documentation and everything. So we're quite excited and very happy with all things that we're seeing.
Thank you. If we have no further questions, I'll hand back to Mr. Jeff Swartz for closing.
Well, first I'd like to thank everyone for dialing in. To summarize, GOP made a strong start to fiscal year 2015 with strong development and leasing momentum, which we expect to continue. Our high lease ratios and sustained rental growth underscore the significant demand we see in all of our markets today. The CMSTD transaction marked a significant milestone following our China Consortium agreement earlier this year. We are confident that our China business will continue to see strong growth with the support of our strategic partners. In Japan, we are excited about our development projects and strong pipeline of leasing demand. And in Brazil,
acquisition of Beagle Properties has allowed us to expand our platform in the market and further strengthen a market-leading position. Our achievements this quarter are only the beginning. We're excited about working with the China Investor Consortium to explore further strategic alliances to drive future growth for GLP. Again, thank you, and we look forward to talking to you again next quarter.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your attendance. You may all now disconnect.